Truth will be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland, K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM, and K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM. Up next is Right to Survive Radio, but first we have some important messages just for you.
KBOO Community Radio currently has a one-to-one match for all new and increasing members. A $100 new or increased donation will become $200 to support the important work of KBOO.
If you become a member at this time or increase your donation over last year, your donation will be matched one-to-one by a group of generous donors up to $10,000. Consider becoming a monthly sustaining member. This can be set up easily and securely online. Over 70% of KBOO's income is from you, our listeners, who take action to become KBOO members.
Go to kboo.fm/support to have your donation matched today, or mail your donation to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. Thank you for supporting KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Pollinating Rios Vivos, Thursday, November 12th, 7 p.m. at Reed's Volum Lecture Hall in Portland. The Beehive Design Collective will talk about how storytelling and art is used while building solidarity with Rios Vivos, Colombia, the social movement of dam-impacted communities that struggle for the defense of their territories and rivers and for an energy model by and for the people. Again, that's Pollinating Rios Vivos on Thursday, November 12th, 7 p.m. at the Volum Lecture Hall on the Reed College campus, 3203 Southeast Woodstock in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Faye with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
Initially, Right to Survive and Right to Dream 2 were invited to do a boat tour of the Willamette River talking about the Superfund site with a number of local and state agencies and organizations some Right to Survive are involved with, a coalition, to discuss some of the toxins that are in the river and some of the cleanup efforts that have taken place over the last 15 years and future cleanup sites and activities. However, as the date to the original Portland Harbor Cruise event came down, both the first and the second tour was, let's say, book past capacities, narrowing the chances of people living without housing a chance or an opportunity to be on board. Myself, and Ibrahim Mubarak were on one of the two of the first tours, and I now see why the city intentionally chose to leave the houseless people without a seat on those boats. From what I understand, the one that was before the one we went on had many vacant seats that could have been filled with houseless people learning about the river and the toxins in the river. And the tour that we went on also had many vacant seats, plenty of room to have at least 50 or so houseless people in the community have an opportunity to learn about the river and what's being done to clean it up. However, there were city officials, county officials, state officials, some of our Oregon senators and House of Representative members on board that night. Many that we have had direct interactions with working on various projects throughout the years as Right to Survive. And we have seen and found that they were very open and friendly and wanted to know more about what our actions on moving forward are in our need to curtail the situation surrounding the houseless people and creating more affordable housing and alternative, in the meantime, solutions to houselessness. We did not find them threatened by our presence. They were very happy and interested to know that we were actively involved in wanting to clean up the environment and know what's going on along the river and how the houseless people that are living along the river feel about what's going on. So with this show, the Port of Portland decided that they would make a special event boat trip just for the houseless community and invite some of or many of the agencies that were on the first two tours and allow them to talk about the river, about the cleanup sites, and some of the toxins that have been dumped in the Willamette over the years. So, in tonight's interviews throughout the show, you will be hearing what the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Environmental Quality, the City of Portland, the Portland Harbor Community Coalition, Groundworks Portland, and some other various agencies that have been working on the Superfund site say about the progress of the cleanup and who is supposedly accountable and how, with no real answer, how they answer the question of how they're holding industry accountable and how the city is taking a approach to cleaning up the river. So let's get started, and we'll also hear from some people that are friends of Right to Survive that were on the tour that are other journalists, and we will hear from some members from Right to Dream 2 and Right to Survive on what they think and what they hope to learn through this cruise. Once again, we want to thank the Port of Portland for giving the houseless community an opportunity to have a day where they could just relax and enjoy themselves and get a little bit of knowledge about what's going on the river. So thank you, Port of Portland, for doing that for the houseless community. All right, let's get started. We have a radio show to do. This is Right to Survive Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Fay, and this is KBOO 90.7 FM here in the heart of Portland. Thank you.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip that started from the stopping point aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailor man, skipper, brave and sure. My passenger set sail that day for a three-hour tour, a three-hour tour.
So, what's your name and what brings you onto this boat today?
My name is Willow Frost, and I'm with Right to Dream 2 and Right to Survive, and I'm here to learn about the pollution and the pollution in the river and how to clean it up.
And what do you think about what's been happening with the Right to Survive in the City of Portland negotiations?
I think the city needs to kind of kick it into gear. honestly, and we've been very patient with them.
And how did you find yourself at Right to Survive?
Well, I was homeless for a really long time, since I was 17. And when I turned 25, I found Right to Dream 2 after traveling for a really long time. And they took me in, helped me get really nice job skills. Eventually, I became a member, and now I'm a board member.
And did you manage to get a job through it?
No, actually, they helped me get my my Social Security. And then after I got housing, I came back, and I'm a success story.
That's awesome. And where did you start out your journey?
Here in Portland.
I mean, you started out and you were homeless at 17 in Portland?
Yep.
And that sounds like a really long and difficult struggle.
Yeah. I dealt with a lot of issues. For one, I have HIV. So that's not easy to deal with even normally, let alone being homeless. I traveled, and when you travel, sometimes you run out of money, so you get stuck places, and you have to walk it. That sucked. But eventually I made my way back home and made my way to RTD2.
And so what would you like people to know about R2-D2?
We're not a bunch of degenerates. We're actually really cool people, and we've got a lot of success stories. You just need to come down and see us to hear about them.
What do you think about Ibrahim and the folks who started it?
Ibrahim's a cool guy, but a little known fact is he runs on what we call Ib time. Ib time runs about a half hour late. And That's the lowdown on our man, Abe.
Good to know. Well, at least he's here on time before the ship took off.
We had to pressure him into it. It's like, Abe, we got a half hour. Abe, we got 15 minutes. Let's go. Abe, I'm not sure the boat runs on Abe time.
And so it's a beautiful day here. What do you hope that this boat trip will accomplish?
I'm hoping there will be a lot of intercommunication between organizations, and that we can work together to help make the river cleaner and safer for people to sleep next to.
And hopefully not necessarily have to sleep next to.
Well, that too. But if worse comes to worst, then the river should be a place where you should be, where you can sleep by without having to worry about psoriasis and other crap skin deficiencies.
Yeah, and who knows what's in the water at this point.
Besides fish. There's fish in the water.
Would you eat them?
No, don't eat the fish.
Would you like to talk to Kibu after you finish eating?
Yeah, I'm still not drunk. No.
So what brings you out here today?
I'm wanting to learn more about how to help keep the environment clean.
And what organization are you with?
I'm with R2-D2 myself.
And how did you find yourself at R2-D2?
Well, I'm a traveler. I traveled from Iowa. I worked with the carnival for 26 years, traveling around homeless. So I got me a job working at the carnival and free travel.
And my name is Ann, and I'll be your crew director.
Some friends of mine brought me there and said, hey, it's a good place to start. And now I'm a volunteer there.
Okay, I'll talk to you more after the safety announcement.
Well, thank you, Ann, and welcome aboard the Willamette Star. This is a Coast Guard inspected vessel qualified to carry 144 passengers. In the unlikely event of an emergency, I'd like you to follow directions of our crew. Two things you need to know: where the life jackets are located and how to don a life jacket. So Ann's donning one down here. Should be marked on the upper deck. Pretty easy to do. Just slip your head through the collar. Once you get that done, there's a strap to bring it around to the back up to the front. Snap it, snug it up, and that's all there is to it. All right. Thank you, Ann. Mark. You can find these life jackets on the upper deck underneath the seats by the bar and on the upper outer deck behind white canvas. We have two heads on board down here. It's all the way in the stern. And on the second level, it's just about midship. Every place there's a doorway, there's a raised threshold. Be careful you don't trip on those when wandering through the vessel. Thank you and enjoy your cruise.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Captain. Also, if you didn't know already, up on the next level, for one, there's an outside deck. Also, there's some snacks. Enjoy your cruise.
All right, so where were we? You arrived at Ride to Dream 2 after years of traveling.
Yes, I work with, I'm a 25-year veteran of the Carnival. Ran the Super Slide, never had an accident. And when I ran it, when I came to RTD 2, they basically helped me out, do quite a bit of things.
I love the Super Slide. My daughter loves the Super Slide. She did it at the first time at the Rose Festival this year. Do you work there at the Rose Festival?
No, I'm...
Well, I might have seen you out there. and how did you find yourself in the situation where you are homeless?
I've been homeless for like 5 years. When my mother passed away, the house got evicted, closed down, and that's how I got homeless.
And how have you found support at Right to Dream 2 or Right to Survive?
Well, they've helped me. I mean, I've been on my Social Security, but they're helping me. They've given me a tent to where I'll be able to sleep outside and things like that. And I'm pretty happy with that.
And have you managed to get a residence at this point?
I'm working with I can't remember the name of the place exactly, but it's 650 Irving Street, and they're helping me. I'm on four different housing places. I've went through a housing 101 orientation. I got a list of places. I've been calling around, just waiting for somebody to call me back.
And in the meantime, you're out sleeping in a tent?
I am sleeping in a tent, and I'm either that or I'm helping a lady friend of mine that's in a wheelchair. I've slept at her house a couple of times. And helped her walk her year-and-a-half-old hunting dog that's, like, stronger than I am.
And is that a situation where you get harassed by the police when you sleep in the tent?
No.
Do you sleep then at Right to Dream 2?
I do sleep on Right to Dream 2, and it's pretty comfortable. I have my own sleeping bag, my own bag, so my own blanket.
And do you feel like the city is not providing enough support for Right to Dream 2?
I believe they are not, and you know they could step up and do a lot more, like Willow said, you know. And I'm going out probably tomorrow to try to get signatures to help.
And it looks like there's going to be a new site for Right to Dream 2. Have you heard about a new site?
I've heard about the new site, but I have not been there yet. Looking forward to seeing it.
Do you think that is a good idea, or do you prefer where it is now?
It might be a pretty good idea, but, I mean, maybe they could keep both spots.
And are you involved in any of the organizing that Right to Dream 2 does?
Not right this time, no, but I'm working on doing that, too.
And what do you hope that comes out of today's event, this cruise?
I'm hoping we can get enough signatures to help clean up this river, to where people can go out and fish and be able to eat the fish in this water.
You got a long way to go for that. It's been decades of contamination here.
Not like out in the Mississippi River in Davenport, Iowa. It's worse there.
Yeah, Mississippi is really bad. All the rivers in this country, just about. Is there anything that you remember, like, from your years of being homeless that you think people should know as far as the experience of homelessness in this country?
If you're homeless, make sure you get your TB test to be able to get into the shelters quicker.
They require a TB test.
Yes, ma'am.
And do shelters require ID?
Yeah, some of them do, yes.
So that's something that's probably pretty tough to do when you're just trying to survive out there.
It is.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
I left a good job in the city, working for me every night and day, and I never lost 1 minute of sleeping, worrying about the way things. Yoo-hoo, can everyone hear me?
No.
Yeah. Can you hear me upstairs? Okay, thank you much. First of all, I'd like to thank the Port of Portland for allowing us to come on and see the Willamette River and the work that they're doing to help us breathe fresher air, eat good fish, and have good water. So let's give them a thank you and a round of applause for allowing us. Then I would like to thank Portland Harbor Coalition, Community Coalition, CAG, EPA, and it's another group, DEQ, and Lower Willamette River, keep going. Everybody for showing up and coming. Is that better? That's better for everybody. And we're going to have four of us speaking periodically. This is a long trip. Enjoy yourself. And then we're going to have DEQ come down, and it's going to be a question and answer. Y'all can ask them any DEA. I said DEQ, MBA. So, DEQ. A lot of people are throwing things at me, so we're going to have a question and answer session. Is that good?
Yep.
Okay, that narrowed it down. And then you can ask them. They don't want to talk about, they want to hear from the community on what they think, on what we think they should do, or any information or input on how we can keep our rivers clean. And I was hoping some people from Columbia River Keepers would show up also, but I don't see anyone here. So let's enjoy ourselves, have fun. We don't have enough life jackets, so if you go overboard, you better know how to swim. So we got Jim Robertson. We got Edward Bonnier, did I say it right? Bonnier. And we have Jackie Chandler, and we're going to be speaking to you off and on what our organization is doing, what we're doing as a whole collective, and what we would like for you all to help doing and to bring attention to how to keep the river clean. And if anybody else want to say anything, it's an open mic, feel free. So I don't know if you want to speak first. We don't have Jim Robertson. Let's thank him.
I'm Jim Robinson. I'm chair of the Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group. We're a group of volunteers from the community who just are watching this process quite in depth. We don't really have a budget. We don't have a staff. We are just people trying to keep track of what's happening on the river and ensuring that our voices are heard as a community for what needs to be done along the river to clean it up, to ensure that we have a clean river and a useful river as well. So I'll mention a couple of things very quickly. A lot of the contaminant that's being dealt with here in the Willamette River is contaminant from many decades ago. So while the water itself has been cleaned up through a lot of processes over the years to make the river much cleaner than it used to be, there's still a lot of that contaminant in the sediment on the river and on the areas along the shore. So you do want to be careful of certain areas along the shore to watch out for if those areas are contaminated. You also want to be careful if you're eating the fish that are resident fish in the river here. If you, for example, if you launch a boat and fish out in the middle of the river, catch salmon, you're probably fine because the salmon are passing through here all the time. They're not as contaminated by the contaminants that are here in the river. But if you're fishing from the bank and catching carp, eating the carp out of the river, you're probably getting a lot of contaminants because the carp is the most heavily contaminated fish in the river. So we want to ensure that we get to a point eventually where it is safe to eat the carp as well as any other fish out of the river and know that you're not risking getting a lot of contaminants because of the way you're eating fish. The Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group has our meetings the second Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the BES Water Pollution Control Test Lab, which is next to the St. John's Bridge. If we go down past the St. John's Bridge, you can actually see it. But you can check out our website as well. You can get on the internet on the website at portlandharborcag.info. Just portlandharborcag.info. And that has a lot about what's happening on the river as well as a map showing some of the various areas that are affected. and information about when our meetings come up. So with that said, I will hand this over to Edward. Let's have Edward talk.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, everyone. Hi. I'm Edward Hill, new executive director of Groundwork Portland. And again, thanks for setting this up. And Chris and the Port of Portland and the CAG and PHCC members and Right to Dream folks being on board. There are a
Right to Survive.
And you know, the I'm not going to talk much now because we have a longer trip, I just found out, and which is great because it gives us time to do more feedback and engage with each other and talk. And I think a lot of people don't know, haven't met me yet. I've only been executive director since April 1st, and Cassie Cohen was the previous executive director, did a lot of work with helping create and establish PHCC. So I'm really here today to find out, you know, talk to some of the partners, both the community partners and the organizational, municipal, and government partners in this work on the river to get more informed. And then also, a lot of folks have been wondering, you know, what are the next steps for Portland Harbor Community Coalition? You know, when are we going to have another meeting? Things like that. And I can give you a quick brief right now, then we can talk details later. But I don't know how many people attended the Willamette River Revival. We had a big festival on the 3rd of August, right? A Sunday the 3rd of August? The 2nd? It was the 2nd of August? The 2nd. Sunday the 2nd. And it was awesome. There were a lot of people there, a lot of community organizations. Folks in this room attended. It was fantastic. Thank you for being there. I think that was the first time that happened, and it was very successful. We had Nick Fish came out, and you know, folks who openly said that I wouldn't have expected I would be here today. So Nick Fish and Mike Jordan were there, the new BES director, and everyone started this conversation about, okay, so what are our next steps now that we have action starting? EPA is starting to show some movement now. You know, papers are being moved around, and more conversations, and federal dollars are starting to be discussed. And for me, I really do want to connect and find out what actual things that we can do on the ground in terms of site-based projects. You know, what work can we actually start to engage in to make sure that, and for me, it's not, you know, I'm coming from a different place. I think from my background in environmental justice, and a lot of that has been about jobs and housing and improving our general livability, you know, the livability of our community. So that's environmental justice at the action base. So what kind of jobs can we start to prepare for Superfund? How many folks do we have in the room, or how many people do we know that can go through job training? How do we start, you know, the Superfund job training exercises? How do we start to direct dollars for community education in the sense of, you know, beyond just talking about how to cook a fish, but are we going to start aquaponics or starting, you know, river-based or shore-based farms to create food above ground? What kind of things can we do in the interim while the river is being cleaned up? And there will be times when we will not be able to use the river because of the types of cleanup actions that will be happening. So how can we communicate with each other about that better? What kind of steps can we take now, 3 years ahead of time or 2 years ahead of time, to start to prepare for this work so that those things are in place? So that's a lot of the stuff that I'm interested in and working with you as partners to find out. There was somebody else standing here, Jackie. She left, and she will talk later. Jackie! But until then, I'm going to leave it at that. So Edward Hill, Groundwork Portland, PHCC, there will be another meeting coming up soon in the next couple of weeks. But let's talk today. If you were at PHCC and you haven't met me, please come meet me, and let's talk about Portland Harbor Community Coalition and how you'd like to see it go into its next phase. And then if you're interested in leadership with that, I have a lot of slots to help and to help you do that and to fill. So I appreciate your time, and thanks for being on the boat today.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing.
Okay, I've been told to talk a little closer to the mic. So the investigation is, and the goal of Superfund, which I'm sure many of you have heard of, and it was a law that was passed by Congress in 1980. And the idea is, how do you reduce risks to environmental fish and wildlife and people that are posed by contamination? So the investigation of doing that actually has taken quite a while, and it's really, we're in like our 15th year of investigating what those risks are. And there's a lot of different chemicals, as Jim Robison described, that come from a legacy of contamination of the use of the Willamette River over 150 years. And as he described, the water itself is actually not the specific problem. There are issues with the water quality periodically, but the Superfund project is focused on the sources to the river and the sediments in the river. So there are many different parties involved in the Superfund cleanup, and the regulatory agencies that are in charge include the Environmental Protection Agency, and there are representatives of EPA here on board. And then for the state, it's the Department of Environmental Quality. And the way that the site really has been looked at is that the shore, near shore and underwater sediments have been looked at mostly by EPA. And then the upland areas, you see a lot of these sites above the water line, which have been involved in cleanups as well. And that is under the Department of Environmental Quality. There's a lot of other organizations involved in the Superfund process. There are Native American tribes. There are the Department of Health. There are a variety of different agencies that are all working together to determine what the risks are, and then how do we go about cleaning it up. So there's a lot of people on board who can answer questions about that. There's a representative of the Department of Health here who can talk a little bit more about what the fish consumption. You may see those signs along the river encouraging you not to eat some of the resident fish. And Karen Bishop is here from Department of Health, and she can talk to you a little bit more about what goes into the decisions that are made about fish consumption. And then the other thing that you'll see is there's certain areas of the river that have already been cleaned up or in the process of being cleaned up. So there's a lot of work that's already been done toward river cleanup in a lot of different programs. But there's also going to be what they call a site-wide cleanup. And that is this lower 11 miles of the river. And it started right up near the Fremont Bridge and will go down to Sauvie Island. And that's sort of where this whole Superfund site boundary, the study area boundary, has been determined. So I'm not going to go through a lot of talking about what we're seeing on either side of the river. We can do some of that when we're coming back up. But we just wanted to give you a little bit of a background on what a Superfund site is and why there's a need to clean it up. And the I've had a couple people ask me today about the actual Superfund itself and isn't there a program for that. And the law has always been designed to make sure that the polluters or the people who were responsible for the pollution are the ones that step up and pay for the pollution cleanup. And the way that it will be here, as it is with every other Superfund site in the country, is those who are responsible for the contamination will be held responsible by EPA to pay their fair share of the cleanup. Now, to do the initial investigation, what happened in about 14 years ago was the city of Portland, the Port of Portland, and several of the businesses along the river here got together and started working together with EPA and DEQ to actually do the scientific studies, to take the fish samples, to go down in the mud and take the samples and analyze it. And that's the group that I work with. They call themselves the Lower Willamette Group, but it's really, like I said, the city, the port, Northwest Natural, Gunderson, other important businesses and others here in the Portland area. They are not responsible per se for the actual cleanup. At some point, EPA will make a decision about exactly who's going to be paying for what, but the Lower Willamette Group stepped up. to do this study. And we're getting to the point now where the study is almost complete, and EPA will be taking that information and preparing a plan and putting it out in front of the community. And like I said, there are EPA representatives here, and they can tell you more about when that will be happening, but I think they're thinking that will happen sometime in 2016. And that's where the community and others can come forward and tell EPA what they think of the cleanup and what is important for them. But there has been a very good process with the community, through the Community Advisory Group, through the Portland Harbor Community Coalition, and others who have all along been really encouraging their points of view to be considered as we look at what the possible cleanup options will be. So I thought I would just give that general overview of what Superfund is and what it's not. And so if anybody has questions, I'm downstairs here, but I'll be moving around. And then, like I said, there are representatives from DEQ and from EPA who are on board who can also answer any questions you might have about the cleanup process and sort of where we are. So enjoy the view.
Kids or your dog swimming is what?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't. And that's a good question, and that's part of the reason why we're doing what we're doing. The information that we have allows us to know that there are risks in the river, and the risks were great enough that EPA needs to take action. So that's why we're here, and that's why we're putting together a plan. And that's why we need your input, not next year, but even now, just talking with you all tonight and getting your input and hearing your feedback and hearing your concerns, that's very much helpful to us to see how many people actually came out tonight. You could have been anywhere doing anything, but you came out tonight to tell us what you think and what you've seen, and we really do appreciate that concern, and we're here to hear you and to continue to hear you.
And I would say, if you do have concerns about your dog or kids swimming in the river, make sure, you know, your friends or relatives also share your concern. That's one of our big goals with reaching out to you, is to spread the word about what the risks are.
Okay, one question that I've been asked. Okay, the Oregon Health Authority.
Yeah, we did also want to mention, Jerry, that the Oregon Health Authority is here. And they have information about, because there are other things that are going on the river. We all know about the algal bloom that happened, and they asked people not to enter the river. And there's other things that just naturally occur in the river, and some of them things are not. But we do ask that you do keep in contact with the Oregon Health Authority, and they're doing their own outreach, too, and connecting with Ibrahim to keep people informed.
Okay, so Elena, a couple questions that I've received from people tonight is, when does cleanup actually start from everything that's being done? When do we actually see work being done in the river for this cleanup? And the other question is, will there be people hired for the cleanup, or will it be people coming from other places to work on it?
So to answer the when question, we're in the process right now of coming out with a proposed plan this spring. And then towards the end of 2016, hopefully, we should have a record of decision. And after the record of decision is when we would enter the remedial design phase. And I think someone has mentioned earlier today that that will entail another round of sampling to get a better, more updated baseline. And once we have that, then we'll design the actual remedies and the work will begin in the river.
And the jobs are something that's a very important component as well. And EPA has something called a Superfund Jobs Training Initiative, where we have a program to provide certification and job skills to allow people, this is of no charge, to allow people to have the tools that they need to actually be able to apply for cleanup specific jobs. It's been done at other sites, and we've been in contact with the organizer of that to see if it can also happen at this site as well. On top of that, we're working with the Oregon Tradeswomen. I don't see anyone here tonight, but we have quarterly meetings with them where we put on a training workshop to talk about Portland Harbor and possibly how they could incorporate their school skills that they're learning with the tradeswomen at Portland Harbor. Another avenue that I suggest is to also talk with the Oregon Environmental Justice Task Force, who also presented us with that same question about how do we incorporate community members to work on the cleanup jobs here in Portland at the harbor, rather than bringing in or outsourcing jobs from people from other areas. So I would recommend that you keep in contact with them, and also, you know, talk with Oregon DEQ, and also spend some time too with some of the people that would be responsible for the cleanup, because EPA would not be the ones hiring those to do the cleanup work, but some of the industry and other governments that are involved with the cleanup, the potentially responsible parties, just see what's available there and just, you know, do your work on that side.
Wasted on the oceans, and up on our seas, fish full of mercury.
So I actually have two questions, and they have to do with human beings being on site. The first is there any funds that can be set aside or allocated for assistance in relocation of persons that are on existing sites? And the second would be, are there any plans on assisting people medical-wise as far as people that have already had contamination and been in contact with contamination as time goes on and maladies start to show up in these people?
I'm not sure of that, but what I would do, you know, if that question, and I don't know if Ibrahim has posed that question to the city of Portland about relocation, I'm not aware of a relocation for people that might be living along here, but that's something that we can look into. But also perhaps maybe check with the city of Portland if they have something available. I'm just not sure about that.
I'll be right on that.
Really?
Your second
question about? Yeah, and that's another one that I'm not clear about either. So I'm sorry.
We have room for one more question. They have the boat to 6:30, so the last question, I'm sorry. He would go on first come, first serve. You know me.
Barbara, would you want to answer this question? Can you ask?
Oh, okay. Hi, Barbara. My question was, what companies are responsible for the contaminants? And with that being said, with them being known to be the contaminants, are they participating in the cleanup of this river?
Great question. The group that I'm working with is a group of, the answer is EPA has identified, I think it's a couple hundred different organizations, and it's not just companies, it's also the federal government, the Navy, companies, and a lot of different potentially responsible parties. What the group that I work with, which is the port and the city and Northwest Natural and a lot of the other business around here came together and signed an agreement with EPA to pay for the investigation, the scientific study that we've been paying for. And so the group, the companies and the city and the board have paid for that. Now, when EPA comes out with their final plan, that's when they'll say, you owe this much, you owe that much, you owe. And so there are a lot of other people and a lot of other organizations will have to come and pay their fair share. So yes, they have been identified. EPA has done quite a bit of work to identify parties that, and some of them are no longer here, right? You know, so there's a lot of work that's gone into identifying those who are responsible, because the law is designed for polluters to pay.
So this was declared a priority in 2000. It seems like there hasn't been a lot of progress. Why is that in the last 15 years?
Actually, there's been a lot of progress, not only in, it's a complex site, so you want to make sure that when you clean it up, you do it once and you do it right. The other thing is there's been a lot of cleanup that's occurred above the shoreline and in controlling sources, and there's been also removal in sediment areas in the site. So there's been a lot of cleanup that's occurred. But there's still that question that's out there. Is this is a very long stretch of the river. What is the overall cleanup that should be applied so that we can move forward and find ways to address the contamination, lower the risks, and return the river to the commerce and recreation and to the use that the people of Portland expect.
And how long is that process expected to take?
Well, actually, I said this is a time when it's getting to the point where some decisions will be made, and that's really important for the community. EPA will be making, will be coming forward with a plan in 2016, and the community then will say, well, this is what we like about that, this is what we don't like about that, and then from that plan, EPA will say, all right, this is what we want to see done. This is where we think you should dredge some sediments out, this is where we think you should put a cap over some of those sediments, here's how the cleanup should be designed. And they'll also tell the polluters, those responsible, how much they have to pay for their fair share of the cleanup. And so all of those questions are still things that the community has an awful lot of opportunity to weigh in on, and that'll happen in 2016.
And there was a study several years ago that the RAND Corporation did about this cleanup. They estimated that $600 million, or about a third or close to a third of the cost, would go to lawyer costs by some of the people involved, some of the groups that are trying to mitigate their costs. Is that accurate?
Actually, it's an interesting question. The Lower Willamette Group, which is the group that I work with, has spent in 15 years $110 million on scientific investigation and study, and not a dime of that has gone to lawyers. We have been focusing the investigation and the costs on the scientific study. Now, we also pay and have paid about $25 million for the actual government oversight. So we pay EPA and DEQ for their costs of overseeing our work. So the lawyer costs, I'm sure that there are lawyers involved and there are many who will be working for individual companies and others. But what we've been focusing on is not trying to go to court over this. We've been trying to figure out what is the best way for us to do a cleanup that works for the fish in the environment. So none of the money so far has gone to lawyers.
So the companies that have that are kind of on the hook for the cost of the cleanup may be the ones that are paying lawyer costs?
That's probably true, as well as, you know, there are several governments that are involved as potentially responsible parties. For example, Portland was a site in World War II where the Department of Defense and the Navy did a lot of work on Liberty ships, and there's quite a bit of contamination that's left over from that. Well, quote-unquote, potentially potentially responsible party is actually the federal government in that case. And then you have other, you have the Coast Guard, and you have the city and the port. That's why there are costs that sometimes are paid for by taxpayer or ratepayer costs, but and each of them must have some legal representation, but that is not really what the focus is at this point. The focus is, what is the technology and the science that we need, and how to, and so what we've paid for is that science to make sure we make the right decision.
And who is the Lower Willamette Group, and how is it funded?
The Lower Willamette Group is a group of primarily 10 different parties, the city, the port, Northwest Natural Gas, Gunderson, Oregon Steel Mills, Time Oil, other companies like that, who came together in the early 2000s and signed an agreement with EPA to fund the actual study, scientific study. So those 10 parties, plus four others who have joined since then, have paid that $110 million worth of scientific studies. So they are funding the study, and then EPA will make a determination once the whole project is finished, who else needs to come and pay their fair share.
And so since this process began in 2000, what percentage of the contamination would you say has been cleaned up?
Well, that's a part of the study. Actually, the Willamette River is a very dynamic river. There's a lot of sediment that comes into the system from upriver. And in many cases, you'll see that, you know, a lot of the contamination in this river is pretty deep because it's so old. It comes from contamination that occurred 100, 150 years ago. So what you've seen is that the sediment that's come into the site from upstream has sort of settled over that contamination. And because the program is designed to lower risks, the risks really are in that top layer of sediment, and it's the bugs and the critters that get eaten by the crayfish, which get eaten by the resident fish, which then get eaten by the people. So that's where the risks have been. So there's been some natural cleanup, but then there's also been areas along the shoreline where a large percentage of known quantity, for example, at Gasco and Northwest Natural, they took out several acres of old creosote and products that are harmful to the critters in the mud and the fish a couple of years ago. And so that kind of work has been ongoing, and there's been removal of sediment up and down the river. But I can't give you an exact number of how much of that is there, but it is getting better.
And has the sediment that's been removed been taken to EPA-approved lined sites?
All of the contamination that has been taken out of the river since the listing, most of it has been taken by either rail car or truck to a proper disposal facility, most likely in eastern Oregon. There is no lined disposal facility next to, there's no EPA facility next to the river at this time.
But there might be. There might be at some point.
Well, we can do that after.
A lot of houseless folks that are living along the banks. The last time I took this trip, I was just amazed at how many people are out there.
Barbara Smith, the Lower Willamette Group.
The other thing I noticed about the river banks is that some of them have a lot of riprap or rocks and hard stuff. And it'd be nice if they were restored.
Catfish, she's ready for gold. Oh, Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish, I'm jumping that pipe. We'll bump it back long. Keep rolling on fast as the sun. Hold back water, keep on rolling. Mississippi, moon, won't you keep on shining?
And I'm the community involvement coordinator for Portland Harbor Superfund site. And, you know, we could talk to you a lot about the river and the cleanup, but the most important part of this, why we're here, is to really talk about the community focus, because that's what we're concerned about. We want to make sure that people know about what's going on. We also want to make sure that you have access to the information that we're reviewing to make decisions, and even most of all, we want your input on what you want to see for the river cleanup. A couple years, about 2 years ago, we met Ibrahim,
And a lot of times with EPA, we're going out and trying to do education to the community, asking questions. But in this instance, Ibrahim brought to us information, a voice that was not sitting at the table. And R2D2, it's been a really good partnership for us because you have brought that voice, those concerns about people in transition between home and getting a home, their concerns, the communities that are living along the river, that voice was not represented before. So now we are working with you, and we want to continue to make sure that we're hearing your voices, hearing your concerns, what you'd like to see, how we can reach out to different groups. And when we were just speaking with Mike and Tricia, maybe it's not EPA that's reaching out. Maybe we are supposed to be using people from the community, from the Right to Dream, Right to Survive, to carry the message, to let people know what's going on and bring that back to us so we can be more effective and efficient, and also making sure that people have their voices heard. So in next year, 2016, hopefully in the spring sometime, we will be releasing the proposed plan. But we don't want people to wait. We want to continue to work with you and to get feedback and input on how can we make sure that people know what's going on, how can we take the considerations of those who are living along the river, maybe not even just living along the river, but are using the river. What do we need to consider right now? How can we incorporate that into the future of what's going to happen? So, Ibrahim, we will be continuing to look towards you to get information, and all the people that we've met tonight, we want to keep in communication with you however best possible to make sure that those considerations are met.
And I would just echo what Elena was saying, that it's great that we can get all of your perspectives here on this boat tonight, but we really want to use you as an avenue to reach more people that, you know, we wouldn't otherwise get their opinion from. So Ibrahim has been, you know, instrumental in that, and putting this whole tour together tonight with the port has been great. But we're at this crucial time right now with the Portland Harbor, the Superfund process. And as Elena was saying, next spring we're going to have the proposed plan come out. And that's really when, you know, the formal public comment period begins and all of the input gets documented and the EPA has to respond to all of it. And so we will collect all input up till that point, but that is really crucial next spring to get the word out and to get all the responses documented, because that's what goes in the record, and that's what, you know, you'll see in the final record of decision.
I was told once when they kept sweeping the houseless people from the residential district to the industrial district to the commercial district and now to the river. I said, how can we stop that from happening? And one of the city officials told me the person with the most calls get recognized. So if we put in our bid and keep calling the city officials and the state government and the federal government, if we put one more call in, then the people who don't care, we win. So let's fill out the forms and contact the EPA and let them know what we want to do, what we desire. Because last I checked, it said, we the people of the United States, not we the corporations, right? So we are the people. They supposed to be for us. And I believe in human rights over corporate rights. And those are the ones that's polluting our river in the name of development. So I'm constantly work with the EPA through the super funds and groundworks and CAG, and we're going to get together and see how can we make our rivers, the two rivers, the Columbia River and the Willamette River, a better and safe place to serve us. This land, this world was created for us, and we don't need to destroy it, because how can we survive without water? I want to know them. You got an answer, let me know, because I'm curious. I don't have an answer. So I've seen other people. Do they want to say anything? It's open mic time. And then I'm going to bring Elena and Anna down later on after we make our pit stop. So if you have any questions or anything you want to ask them or you want to add, come on down, and I'm sure they're full of answers. They want to tell you that. They want to show how smart they are. So they went to school for it. Okay? Thank you much. Do you want to talk, Chris?
No, but I think when we get to Lemico,
Okay, when we get to Lemico, we're going to have a report staff. And Elwood Hill, he go by many names. He wears many hats, so... Here you go, Elwood. Everybody knows Ed, right? So, Elwood, we got that one right. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Thank you. I am really digging this boat ride. And it's such a wonderful day. It is not raining. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the action part.
From groundwork.
So, bless you. A part of the me coming on board with Groundwork Portland and working with PHCC. So those folks who are in the room on the boat, I guess the room is the boat, but folks who are on the boat that have been to PHCC meetings and have been working with the CAG and working with EPA to connect communities.
Your host Lisa Faye, along with Ibrahim Mubarak and special guest interviewer Jenka from the newsroom here at KBOO. We would like to thank you for tuning in to Right to Survive tonight and learning about Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup site along the Willamette River. You heard from many guests, from local organizations to concerned community members to members of the houseless community to DEQ to the EPA, from Groundworks Portland, from Portland Harbor Community Coalition, from the Port of Portland, and a few other agencies that were trying to fill in the blanks of the questions people